They've been listening to your messages online, right?
Oh, yeah, once in a while.
You've been listening to his messages online, right?
Yeah.
That's what he keeps telling us anyway.
Yeah.
So now you're gonna see this in action now. So that it's a whole different ball game when you see Malcolm in action.
Amen.
Online, you only get a partial.
Oh, well, we did live together.
Yes. All right. Wow. It
really is a good feeling that we can share and just really share our love for one another and our thanks, you know, that we have amongst ourselves. And
it's always really a touching thing. I wanted to, why don't you go in your Bibles right now to 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5. Now, the last couple of weeks,
last week we talked about the Feast of Tabernacles, or Feast of Trumpets, and that the Feast of Trumpets starts a 10-day period in the Jewish calendar where people are to really be reflective of their condition, look to repent as the Lord shows areas of their lives, our lives, and to really fill that all up with a lot of prayer. So these 10 days that started last week are days of repair, repair is really important, the repentance and prayer. So just mentioned last week how important this is. It seems to be a season of this. The Jews do this to remind them of the importance of that. But that should be something that's carried out throughout the whole year. And just the encouragement that we should have that if we're to be a house of prayer, that prayer be even more so in our life, more than we even do right now. And I said this all last week. This is what we were talking about last week. So I want us to look at something here because, you know, we're at a period of time where things are getting worse in the world, and we listen to a lot of the prayers, and it's all kinds of burdens and problems and pains and sicknesses, and we can get inundated with all of the concern. And I felt like the Lord wanted to say for us today, you know, this is all temporary.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yes.
And, you know, sometimes it helps to understand that we're in a temporary situation.
Yeah.
You know? And at some point in time, things are going to change. And we know how it's going to change.
Right.
Don't we?
Yes.
We know that we can't even ask or think the things that God has prepared for us. And how important that is. Now, I just remembered something I have to say. And this is to Joanna Wiggins. So, Joanna, you're listening to this sometimes too, so I found out. I don't even know you, but I'm talking to you right now. So, God bless you, and I pray that this word will really just meet your heart.
Excellent.
So I had to remember to do that. So, but
are you guys in Samuel?
Yes.
2 Samuel? I'm not. Did I say?
No.
2 Samuel chapter 5.
Yeah.
apparently we do a lot of reminding here. I think we all know a lot of things of what the Word says, but we really need a lot of reminders of what God wants to say, and He touches us through the messages a lot, and your own personal Bible study or your own personal devotion time that you do. Things come up in your reading, and you go, "Oh yeah, I should be doing that. Well, why did I forget to do that?" I've really been trying to discipline myself better to have more time in prayer during the day and evening. And, you know, life happens and things get in the way. And we just need reminders, don't we?
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk here about... there's all these problems and all this battle, and we have situations that happen in our bodies, to our bodies, and we have things that happen in our minds and our emotions, it seems like there's a constant thing that goes on, and we hear about them and we pray about them, and you can get weary. You get weary about when's this going to end. You know, and this is one of the things that helps us in our battle to get through some of this, is to realize that it is just temporary. In the long run, in the long scheme of things, we're just a little bit in time. Now it seems long to us, and it's pretty excruciating, you know. When you're in pain, the time tends to slow down to us, doesn't it? But really, it's a temporary thing, and sometimes that's important to be able to get yourself through a situation. I know I'm going to get over this at some point. This isn't going to last forever. What's really good is the fact that we have a God who has all these promises that He's given us, and we need to be looking to Him and continually turning to Him through the day. Amen?
Yes.
So here's an example with David in 2 Samuel chapter 5, and I'm going to start in verse 17. So it says, when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David, and David heard of it and went down to the stronghold. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord. Now, what's he doing there?
Praying.
He's praying, isn't he? He's asking God something. And he says, "Shall I go up to the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand?" And the Lord said unto David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand." And David came to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there and said, "The Lord has..." How's it say it in your Bibles? Broken through, breakthrough,
bursting flood.
Like that, yes, like a bursting flood, like a breach of waters. And it's, it's like there's a dam, and the dam's holding back the waters. And finally, at some point, the pressure of the water against the dam, with added, especially when there's added amount of water coming into and back of a dam, you know how they have to do up in Dummer, right? They have to let the water out because at certain times of the year the water gets so full and the pressure is so great that if they don't let water out of the bottom of the dam's going to break. right? And so this bursting forth of the waters, there was a breakthrough, a breaking of a dam, and this is what David was talking about. It's just like there's all this pressure, and then finally, bam, it opens up. And so he's saying that God broke through for him. There was this antagonism. There was this push against him as being the king of Israel. There's all kinds of things in your life that you would like to see some victory in.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You want to see a breakthrough.
Yes.
For certain things. Might be for other people, might be for yourself, might be for the country, it might, you know, whatever you're looking at, you know. I really felt like the Lord was saying this is going to be a season of breakthrough, a season where we're praying and repenting and being very soft to the Lord about our own condition, and that there's going to be a breakthrough. The prayer. Prayer is that water. Prayer is the thing that's pushing, and it's going to be the prayers of the saints that are finally going to have a breakthrough.
Amen.
That's what's going to happen. More prayer. It's good for us to know about the conditions of one another. Why? More prayer.
Yes.
And people don't like to really, you know, the enemy fights that prayer more than just about anything. Why? Because there's breakthrough with the spiritual pressure in the heavenly places. There can be breakthrough. I've wondered how many times I might have come to a place where I was about to break through, but I got... You know, well, I guess God's not going to answer me. And I stop. Yeah, that, you think?
Yeah.
You wonder if that could have happened. You know? If I just would have prayed some more. If I just would have stuck at it and continued to allow God to roll up in me that level of faith that was going to persevere and see something through to the end. Now, I'm going to be saying some things that are going to sound a little bit contradictory to what I just said, but that's you'll see what I'm talking about. So, what do you want to say something?
Well, in my Bible, it says that God's going to demonstrate His power. And I think the more we pray, the more we're going to see the power of God being demonstrated in all these situations.
Yeah. You know, I think there's something about America where we're missing something that happens in other areas of the world because we're caught up in our lives way, way more than a lot of other people. The simple faith, the simplicity of people's lives in other parts of the world, they're not looking for a lot of things. They're not caught up in so much of what's going on all in the world, but they're a simple praying group of people. That seems to come across a lot when I am reading things about what's going on in other parts of the world. They're more into prayer than we are in America. And I know, and we said, I think I said this last week, well, yeah, sure, I think all of us pray every day. But you know, I look at like all the things that we were asked to pray for. I'm going, there's got to be some victory here. There's got to be some breakthrough here. Now, it's still His timing on all these things, but I wonder how much I ask myself this question. Am I not going forward in my prayer life more than you know? I need to do more of that. Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know? When you see things, I just feel like because of what's coming in the world, and we're coming down toward the end of this age, and the hurt, the darkness that is in the world, that's in us even, that still has to root itself out. We need to be more committed to being a people of prayer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying? I was wanting to get together and have a big prayer night last night with everybody at the house. And we got talking, and we were all tired, Kathy had too much wine at dinner. I'm gonna hear about this. No, she was fine. But you know, it kind of makes you get a little sleepy. So Kathy went to bed early, and I went down, and I was laying in bed. I woke up at 11 o'clock last night, and I went, we never prayed. We never prayed together. I almost went up and knocked on the door.
We weren't waiting.
I didn't know that. So, I mean, oh gosh. So, you know, I prayed on my own. But we need this.
Mm-hmm.
And we really need that. We need that interaction. We need to know things about one another and to pray for one another in a greater way. Because, I mean, the Lord spoke this to me. There's a season of breakthrough that is ready, and we need to be people that are pressing in for that.
Yes.
There has to be a time of preparation even for that. Do you know that? So let me
go through some scripture here. I guess we'll start with, since we're in 2 Samuel, just flip over to 2 Kings, chapter 6. 2 Kings 6.
Don't you feel sometimes there are times in your life where you feel totally overwhelmed with a situation?
Mm-hmm.
You see no way out. You see no person on a white horse riding in to save you from a situation. It's a totally a desolate kind of thing. There's no hope. It just isn't going to happen. And we feel overwhelmed. And I don't know how you feel, but you know, there's a lot going on in the spirit realm around us. And this little story just reminded me of this, and I want to point something out here. So, 2 Kings chapter 6. I'll preview this before I get to this verse. Elisha. Is at some place, Dothan, I think it is, and the Syrians find out that he's telling the king of Israel all of their battle plans. So they said, "Well, we got to get this Elisha character." So they find out where he's holding up, and they surround the city. All right, so here's where we're going to pick up and read. So did I say 16?
No.
Okay. All right, well, I don't want you to go there. So let's start at 13. And he said, "Go and spy where he is, that I might send and get him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he is in the city of Dothan. Therefore, send horses and chariots and a great host, and come by night and surround the city all about." And when the servant, verse 15, "And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and had gone forth, behold, a host had encompassed the whole city with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, what shall we do? You imagine that? You know? You're looking all around you. You are overwhelmed with the amount of forces coming against you.
Yeah.
Wonder what that could be in your life. The things that just, I see no way out. There's no hope. What's going on here? All the pain and the problems that other people have. My gosh, you know, we can feel helpless, right? And then Elisha says this in verse 16, and he answered and said, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them."
Yes.
Wow. We have this overwhelming amount of forces of the enemy coming at our minds, coming at our bodies. Let me say this to you. There's more on our side than there is on theirs.
Yes.
Now, we need this kind of thing to start out. If we're going to have a breakthrough, you know, you've got to believe that there is going to be a breakthrough.
Yeah, that's right.
It isn't just kind of a hope. There has to be a stronger belief that God is there. Well, let me just remind you. How can there be more for us than for them? Well, at the most, a third of the angels, right, fell with Lucifer. How much does that leave?
Two-thirds.
Gosh, we have twice as much on our side, don't we?
Yes.
And I think this is, you know, you might think this is silly or a minor point, but I don't think that it is. I think we have to realize that because sometimes when we're praying for things and we want to see something change in our life and it's not changing and it's going on for months or years, we can get very discouraged. Well, you know, it's just too much. It's just too much. No, it's not. And that very thing welling up inside of us gives us spiritual strength that allows us to continue to fight.
Mm-hmm.
To continue to believe. Right?
Yes, right.
Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And, you know,
yes.
It's not just a little phrase that we say that we memorize. If we don't really believe it, if it's just something that falls off our lips, but we don't really believe it, if we don't really apply it at the times that we need it, it doesn't do us any good. Does it?
Right. No.
So I just want us to be encouraged that if we're going to see a season of breakthrough, there's a certain preparation, there's a certain understanding that we have to have as God's people to realize, well, first of all, he wins.
Yeah.
It's this is all of this junk and crap that we have to deal with in our life is temporary.
Right.
And it isn't going to mean a thing when we're over in eternity. It's going to be a faded memory, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now I know, and I know that some big bad thing happens, I'm going to be all riled up, and you know, and I'll be going through it. Just like anybody, you know, like all of us, we have emotions in us, and so there's emotion, an emotional aspect that is really hard to fight against. But it takes understanding that things are temporary in this life. If you truly believe in a God in heaven, and that we're going to be with him in a place where there's no more sorrow, there's no more tears, there's no more pain. You understand?
Yeah.
Well, there's something to whoop about. You know? There's something to say, thank God this isn't for eternity.
Right. Amen.
Thank God God has promises. And you know what happens a lot? Why can't I? You know, we get down in the mully grubs. You like that word, don't you? I know, Joe does.
So,
you know, there. That's what this thing. What I'm saying here is this thing about having a vision that goes beyond where we are, right? It's having eyes to actually see what really is important and what really is happening, and that though with our outward eyes and from our experience we feel inundated and overwhelmed and without hope sometimes, that no, there's plenty of hope that we can have in Christ.
Yes.
Can't we?
Yes.
And so I just pray that this is something that God infuses in us in a greater measure. For what you hear today, and hopefully that you think about and you pray about, and in your repentance and in your prayer life, Lord, you know, we can ask for things, can't we? God, give me a vision of where I'm going. What's going on? I don't want to see just the negative and the thing that's coming at me, but give me that spiritual strength that takes me beyond my circumstance, up and out of my circumstance.
Yes.
You know, that is only going to happen with prayer. You know that.
Yeah.
It happens with prayer, and it happens in worship. And when you are not just singing words to songs, but when you and I are actually communicating with our Father, and when the words that we know in our head and we're singing them to God, we're really singing them to Him. It's not just the words of a song, but there is a special thing that's taking place in that exchange, isn't there?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I can listen to worship music that's on the internet, and sometimes it's a beautiful song, but there's not much anointing. There's not much. There's some ingredient that's missing. And when you're touched with the words of songs, more than likely, it's either something that you're just ready to hear those words, or the person that's actually singing that has an anointing.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. And when they have a really good voice besides, that's even better.
Okay. You with me?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so let's go to Joshua chapter 1. This is kind of tied in with what I was just saying, actually. You know, they kind of piece together. Joshua chapter 1. Because
here's Joshua going into a new land. We're going into places in a spiritual sense. If we're growing in Christ, we're going into a new land. Place where we haven't been before. Right? In the spiritual sense. You see that? You with me?
Yeah. Yeah.
So this thing that God is saying to Joshua, I think, is applicable to what to the message that we have here. And it says in verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Down in verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. Wow. And what is it that makes us strong? What is it that makes you strong? Our faith, right? Our trust in God. Breakthrough. You have to believe and trust that, you know what? Maybe it's not happening right now, but I trust God.
Yes.
What does that gives you and I, if we truly do. You know, I found that I say, oh, I trust you, God. But then when things don't happen exactly the way I want it to, or when I want it to, I start mumbling a little bit. Where are you, God? I find out how much I need to allow God to change me. You know, the trial, there's a trial of our faith. What's trial? What's that mean?
Test.
A test. Our faith gets tested.
Yeah.
Well, I don't like that, God.
No.
I don't like that you have to test my faith. I don't think that works too well. Because I think, see, we all believe that God is wiser than us. Knows way more than us, knows the end from the beginning, and he has our best interest at heart. He wants us to have life and that more abundant, right? I mean, do you believe that?
Yes.
Then we can trust him, can't we? We really can trust him to the degree that we need to. Now, I've said this so many times. I'm talking to myself. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to myself. You're just happening to be listening in. Because this is important to me right now. Because when you have a burden for other people, you want to see them make it through. You want to see these places that have held them in or yourself in. You want to see yourself get out of that. And you also want to be prepared for what new things God has ready for you in the future.
Right? Yes.
And there's new things. We think it's going to be just an easy little ride from here into tribulation period into eternity. Oh boy, let me tell you. We need preparation that comes through experiences that have to happen to us, where our faith does get tested, right? I know this is a very pleasant message. So that's Joshua. All right, let's go to. I'm going to change gears a little bit. All right, now go up to the New Testament. I want you to go to the book of Philippians, and I think Kathy had actually chosen this scripture. For the bulletin. Is that right, Kevin?
Philippians
4:11? Why, that's the same scripture I got.
No.
Yeah. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. I'm going to start in the second half of verse 11. It says this. You have that other Bible? That green, yeah, the green one. You have it right there. Sorry. For I have learned how to get along happily, whether I have much or little. I know how to live on almost nothing or almost everything. I have learned the secret of contentment. Now, you might not think that contentment has anything to do with breakthroughs, but boy, it does. It really does. I have learned the secret of contentment in every situation, whether it be on a full stomach or hungry, plenty or want. For I can do everything God asks me to with the help of Christ, who gives me the strength and the power. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Contentment. Now, that seems like that was supposed to be passive about this.
No.
That isn't what it means. What we find ourselves in, you know, you're going through a bad situation. Well, Lord, there must be a reason for this. I must be having to learn something.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean that we accept bad things that are around us. We see where we are. We're content in that. We don't have what we want. We don't see something happening in somebody else or in ourselves. Okay, this is where I'm at. And we need to say, okay, this is how it is right now. But God, help me to get past this. At the moment, you have to be content. You and I have to realize this is the situation we are in. Now, God, show me the way out. You understand this?
And that's absolutely true. I think we have to be very guarded against the envy of things not earned.
Yep.
And wanting out for our own good and not for God's purpose.
Yes.
You know? And that's, again, it's one of the things we talk about.
Yes, it is.
It's how you're looking at this.
It's how you look at it.
The difference in your satisfaction or your happiness in life.
It makes a big difference the way you approach almost any kind of problem that's in your life, right? Mm-hmm. You approach it with I don't know if you've experienced this before, you know, where you feel like God has something against me. God must have something against me. This happens and that happens, and you know, and those things can happen to any one of us, right? We're not content at that point. We don't realize that there's a bigger picture, a more important long-range picture that God has in His mind for you, for me. And because I'm only looking at what, you know, the pain I'm trying to squeeze away from. Right?
Yeah.
And God doesn't, that's why God doesn't just do whatever we say. Because He has the bigger picture.
Right.
And so we are content with where we are. We don't like where we are, and so we press into God. God will answer when He darn well wants to. If it's even part of what His plan is, right?
Mm-hmm. How are we content when we don't like where we are? How do we do that? We have to have vision for what's beyond.
Yep. And this trust and belief that, you know, God has my best interest in mind.
Yeah.
Right? If you don't see, what happens is the enemy tests that faith, tests that trust, and then we get to decide whether we're going to allow our faith to grow or if we're going to be using our carnal mind and saying, well, I don't think God really, this is all a bunch of hooey, this doesn't really mean anything. That's where the enemy would want to take any of us, right?
Right.
And so it's important for us, if we're going to be people at the end of the age that's full of light, right? Light has to break through the darkness. God wants a people that are going to be that way. You know, it's not going to be easy. I've wanted it easy. But it isn't easy. But you know what? It means something more, doesn't it? It's like what Jason was saying, you know. God wants us to have that life experience that puts something deep within us that's never going to get shaken out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think about some very dear friends and how they've gone through more than I could ever stand, I think.
Yeah.
And I think when I look at them and when other people look at them, that they gain strength knowing that these people have faith that the Lord's going to bring them through everything. And so that though they're going through it, they are a light.
Yep.
And they're going to be a light for the world. Because of what they've gone through, people can see, oh, these people were overwhelmed. I mean, absolutely
yeah.
overwhelmed with everything. And yet they stand.
Yeah.
You know, and they're
yes.
faithful.
Yes.
And so it's not just for ourselves that we're doing this, but it's for those who see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Malcolm,
I just say, just that the... That there's even beyond this life,
mm-hmm.
there's purpose in heaven as well,
yes.
and mm-hmm. and people who go through that type of thing, I believe that their purpose in heaven is going to be huge,
yes.
because they are going to be well prepared to deal
yes.
with anything.
Yes.
So that's it's beyond this world. That's
yeah,
that's
yes.
what the message was saying. It's beyond here.
Yes.
Yes.
This is temporary. This is temporary.
But in the end, we're going on to another world.
Yeah.
And we're gonna and there's still purpose in that realm. We're not
that's
just
right.
hanging out.
Right.
And people and some of the stuff that we're going through here is preparing us for whatever we're gonna do in the future.
Exactly.
Yes.
I'm just thinking that I think that's why the trial of your faith is more precious. Because our measurement is so different than God's measurement.
Yeah.
So even like if you think about healing, and it's very important that we bring
yeah.
up
yes.
prayer requests, and that's very important.
It is.
But really when you really realize that, like this temporal body, it's not really the important thing in his
yeah.
in his measurement.
Yeah.
It's what am I getting through the trial of that faith that I have certain ailments or whatever it is. It's not, and so we put so much weight on God answering this specific prayer this specific way.
Right.
But that's not how he works.
Right.
If we trust that he has the whole picture,
mm-hmm.
it changes our faith because
it sure
we can
does.
See, we can say, you know, I believe in faith for this specific thing, but I know that you are faithful. That's like the overarching
yes.
promise.
Yes.
It's not like this, so you didn't answer this specific thing. It's important to pray that specific way. But if you say it, if you know that, but I know that you're faithful, because this is not so important to him.
Right.
It's
mm-hmm.
the trial of our faith that's so precious
yes.
that's what's important to him.
Yes, it is. Yeah, our faith
yeah.
is in God.
Right.
Our faith is not in what he does.
Right.
Our faith
right.
is in God,
yeah.
who he is and what and all the promises that he has for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, that was
good. Another thing going along with what Reggie said too is that, you know, not only is all of this trial of our faith for something more specific in the future, we have, as mentioned, a period of time where light has to shine in darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that means into tribulation time. We're going to be, hopefully, in the 1,000-year, the millennial reign of Christ. We're going to be ruling and reigning with him.
Yeah.
There's certain things that we're going to be doing there.
That's right.
Yeah.
We're not going to be laying in a boat cruising on a lake somewhere for the 1,000 years. There's things that are going to be needed to be done. Right? And then there's eternity.
Yes.
There's important things out ahead of us that are important.
Right.
This
yes.
is temporary.
Yes.
And like Gabriel said, you know, I want him to think that our bodies and pain are less are more important to him, and not, but he sees something out beyond that, and that's what we have to have in our minds, that there's something out beyond that's greater, more wonderful, that's happening for us to learn now that we can carry into the future. Right?
Yes.
How important this is for God's people to get this down, so that as things progress and we grow and things are going on, that we understand this. It's already understood, right?
Right.
And we have to be reminded, I think.
Because I think we know this stuff, but we needed to be reminded of this. So,
growth is really important too, Malcolm. Like you were just saying, like growth is important because I remember, like in high school, like my big worries, and I really and I don't think I was the only one, but like getting stressed out about what jeans I was wearing.
Yeah,
which was now after all the crap that I've gone through in my life, I look back and say, who cares?
Who cares?
Why did that even matter back then? You know, right at that time. So there's some growth that happens that, you know, even 5 years ago I was worried about things that I look back on and say, man, what? that was just silly for me to even worry.
Why is that so important?
Because, but only because there's been things that have happened in my life that I look back on that have stretched me even beyond those. Because if I never got stretched, I'd still be worried about the jeans I'm wearing.
Right.
Really, honestly. Right. Right. I mean, that's how it works. Yeah. God is working through your life to prepare you and make you understand, like, that's silly. That means nothing.
You got it. You know? That is so right.
Yeah, it's crazy. But it's purpose.
Yes, yes, it is.
We are becoming pearls of a very great price.
Yeah.
And the origin of the pearl is a piece of gritty sand, irritating. And with that irritation, more and more layers of durability and beauty are manufactured, one layer at a time. So the aggravation and the irritability of our tests and trials produces wonderful layers, and eventually that produces a pearl of great price.
Yeah.
And I say this in meaningful words, that when we hear that the gates of heaven are pearly gates, that's not a trite.
That's right.
Just imagine, as we enter the gates of heaven through the pearly gates, who are those pearls? Who are those pearls that have gone before us? Peter, Paul, all those that suffered. There's current martyrs in the last 100 years that have suffered and suffered and suffered. And they'll be presented to us as you walk through and see all that. And that's the glory. And that's because of the irritation and the trials in our life. That's what's brought about the pearls.
It's going to be worth it. The pain, all that suffering, it will be worth it. Lord, we look to you. We thank you, God. That you love us, that you have promises for us, that you have purpose for us. I thank you, Lord, that this life is just temporary, that you have greater things for us, a place to go to where all of this is finally going to end, and we will have a life, and really an abundant life, that we will be experiencing forever and ever and ever. So Lord, help us through this life, through this time of our faith being tested and all the things that happen in this world, the evil that tries to come in on us, that we remain faithful to you, that we love you, that we find contentment, that we keep our vision, Lord, that we find strength through our prayer life, through our interactions with one another in our worship of you, Lord, that we find the strength and to be courageous to face things that we don't want to face, and do it with courage in our hearts. So we thank you, Lord, today. Bless everybody here. Bless everybody's ears. Bless everybody's hearts and minds, Lord, that we would really receive this message, that it would be engrafted into our very soul, Lord God. For your glory, Lord. For your glory. We can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. Amen.
No.
Yeah.
You think it was a coincidence that you say
you're lying to see? Oh, well, that happens all, you know, yeah.
You will rise. How about I will rise?
I will rise. Right. I know. Praise the Lord.
Now, is there one more song at the end? Is that what's happening?
I mean, there can be.
Let's
up to you.
Close it down.